Hello, so joining us here on Zoom is Drew Jacob and Clark Dalton. Clark Dalton, you've heard on the podcast if you've been listening to the podcast for a while. Drew Jacob's making his debut on the Rants with NHC podcast. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. This is a really, really good episode to make my debut on.
Yeah.
Big news we're discussing, obviously, and I'm excited.
Clark, how are you doing?
Shocked. After everything that has transpired and we're going to get into today.
Yeah. And as you guys, all the listeners out there, you guys most likely know about this, but I'm just going to run it through it real quick. On the night of on the morning of Saturday, January 1st, the University of Texas announced that they were going to fire Tom Herman as the head coach of the Texas program. And about a couple hours later, so 4 or 5 hours later, Chris Del Conte comes out and announces that they're hiring Steve Sarkisian. At the time, was an offensive coordinator at Alabama. He would still be coaching Alabama at the national championship game in this upcoming Saturday, but he will be taking over the Texas head coaching job in 2021, and has been doing a lot of staff recruiting in the past couple of days. But that being said, not surprisingly, all of the coaches that was there, so Tom Herman's staff, was surprised by the move. This is 3 weeks after Chris Del Conte coming out and saying that Tom Herman will be the head coach for Texas. And this is after a pretty convincing win in the Alamo Bowl as well. And I think although Tom Herman's tenure at Texas was put into question during the season, as of January 1st, I think firing Tom Herman was, at least in my case, was not on the top of the list I was expecting. So I think it's deservedly, Tom Herman and his staff was very surprised by this decision, and Texas Twitter just blew up on Saturday night. That being said, Drew, Clark, I want to hear, first of all, just very simple, do you think firing Tom Herman is a good move or a bad move? Clark, we'll start with you.
We're on the fence here, but it's yes and no. I think it's a good move because of the way recruiting was going. Because when Tom Herman lost Quinn Ewers, it was clear that the program just wasn't having the same weight it was in earlier years. Yes, he was able to get players like Bijan Robinson in the middle of his tenure, but it showed that the production wasn't happening on the field, and sometimes some recruits weren't feeling like they were being implemented into the program the way they should be. And then you have kids starting to opt out, and then one thing leads to another, and that's when recruiting itself falls apart. We went from being the third best recruiting class to the 17th best recruiting class in the country. That's a huge drop. And it's nothing against Tom Herman, because there are just some things you can't control. You can't control Keontae Ingram fumbling at the 1 yard line. You can't control Malcolm Roach jumping off sides against Iowa State in 2019, the year before. But I think that if you just allowed Herman to stay here for too long, that there would have continued to be that regression. Now, this year, I could have been wrong, because I think the team is good enough that they're going to be improved going into 2021. But if you're just allowing him to do the same things and not really holding him accountable, that's when the program can't make progress.
Well, absolutely. To Clark's point, this recruiting class has been an absolute disappointment. Recruiting drops, that's when you start seeing long-term damage done to the program. I believe it was Mac Brown at one point during his tenure. He said, you'll know when it's time. He basically said, you'll know when it's time to go because the recruits will tell you. And, you know, losing Ewers, and especially not being able to land the Brockmeyers, it's unacceptable. It's clearly showing that the top tier players, even ones with great ties to the university, aren't necessarily interested. And that lays at Herman's feet. That shows that these top tier recruits don't believe that UT is capable of being an NFL factory. which they absolutely should and need to be. And in terms of the program, the team being better next year, because I heard a lot of, there were a lot of Tom Herman defenders suggesting that things would get better and suggesting that we were close to going undefeated this year. We were close to being better. That just isn't true. This year was just like all of Tom Herman's others. You're signing up for about 9 to 10 very close games every year, and you're just not going to consistently win all of them, which Herman hasn't. So going into next year with a new quarterback, I mean, as great as he looked against, you know, Murderers Row, Colorado, we just don't know what kind of production we're going to get. I think now was a fine time to make the move. I was ready for it. You can't really judge a coach's firing without also judging the replacement. Sarkisian is obviously not the slam dunk hire that we were all hoping for. But I do think it was clearly time to make a change.
Yeah. And y'all made many good points, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. Financially aside, because I think I've said on the podcast before that spending this much money in a pandemic year or, you know, in a pandemic is very irresponsible. But that aside, on the football side, on the recruitment side, yes, the recruitment rankings are 17th, but all of the assistant coaches are different in 2020 than the years before. So you could treat, I mean, I treated it as a transition class because all of the guys that was not besides Tom Herman, all of the coaches are new. So in that case, I treated it as a transition class. So seeing at number 17 wasn't that big of a hit in my opinion. But I agree with you, Drew, on the field. The 2020 team is still playing to the opponent's level. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. And if you're Texas, you need to be consistently good, like the game against Kansas State, right? Where it doesn't matter how good or how bad a team is, you're going out. If it's a team that you need to beat them by 20 or 30 points. You need to score 50 points on them. As you said, during Tom Herman's tenure at Texas, a lot of the times against the teams that they should have beaten, they always take way too long before they really put the final nail in the coffin. And I think on the field wise, that's probably the biggest blemish on Herman at Texas. And a lot of the losses that even against big teams, good teams, top 10 teams, I've been very, as a fan watching, just very heartbroken to see. I wanted to ask you this, you know, Tom Herman's been in Texas for 4 years, or had been in Texas for 4 years, has one season with double digit wins at 10-4 in 2018. They also won the New York Six Bowl in 2018 versus Georgia. He's 32-18 at Texas and 22-13 in conference. Finished in the top three the last 3 years. I don't know if that means anything for Texas fans, because Texas fans expect a lot out of the program. But besides his first year, he finished top three in the Big 12 every single year. So that being said, I understand that Texas have a lot of expectations. Herman's 4 years at Texas really hasn't really met that expectation. So I wanted to ask you, how do you grade Tom Herman's tenure at Texas? Drew, we're starting with you.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't want to dress up 2019 too much. Technically, we did finish top three in the conference. We finished in a tie. The team actually finished 5-4 in conference that year, the same conference record as 2017. Given that Texas is so significantly more talented than every team they're playing in the Big 12, save for Oklahoma, even then, though, they do have an advantage. Texas has the fourth highest blue chip ratio given any roster in the country. So understanding that Herman is coaching against teams he should be able to out-talent every week and beating them about 55% of the time, That's going to hurt his grade. The postseason success, though, has been something. He's clearly a very good bowl game coach. I mean, going back to his time at Houston, he's 5-0 in bowl games. The Sugar Bowl is great. And frankly, it's a season that I am going to hold dearly for a long time. It was the best season that UT had had since 2009. It was my freshman year of college. It was really something to see. The problem was since.
Yeah.
So considering how many incredible players and recruits I've seen come to Texas and even have great freshman years, but then not get any better or regress. Sam Ellinger comes to mind. I don't think that he progressed the way that we all expected to. As great as he was, no disrespect to Sam, I think the coaching staff sort of failed him there. So given all that, I would give Herman, I don't know, maybe a C+ grade. I think he's a fine coach. I think he's a fine coach who's going to win you about 60% of your games. He's going to keep about 99% of them close, and he's going to win you your bowl games. But you can't do much better than a C+ at the University of Texas if you are 1-4 against Oklahoma and have produced no championships of any sort.
Yeah, very good points, Drew. Clark, what about you?
I'll give it a B because even though there was a lot of disappointment during Tom Herman's tenure due to the sky-high expectations Texas fans have every year, there are a lot of good things he contributed to the program. When he took over, this team was absolutely at an awful spot after the Charlie Strong years. Charlie went 16-21 at his time in Texas, and he inherited the 25th best recruiting class in the country, which is good, but that's not necessarily all the great five-star players you're going to get. And that really hurt Texas at the beginning. And you saw it in his first year when he went 7-6. And he really had to work with Sam Ellinger and bring him along. Because if you remember Sam's freshman year, he was a bit of a wild horse out there. Threw a lot of interceptions late in games. Oklahoma State comes to mind immediately. But he was able to do that and develop Sam Ellinger into a good player. Maybe not the Heisman contender we wanted him to be, but someone who's definitely solidified his legacy at Texas. And then 2018, which is the best thing that's ever happened to Tom Herman and the worst thing that's ever happened to Tom Herman. The best thing because it showed that Texas can win again. There's that possibility. They can beat Oklahoma in the regular season. They can beat a good Georgia team. They can hang with the best in the country. But that immediately jacked expectations back up again, and everyone thought it was going to be an 11 or 10 win team every year. And that was just not the case with the injuries that happened in 2019 and then 2020, which was a good season, but it was just not quite there. They're 13 points away from being undefeated. That tells you everything you need to know. So back to my main point, though, is it jacked expectations. And it's one of the worst things you can have as a college football fan, where you're so tantalizingly close to being that next tier elite program, like in Oklahoma, like in Ohio State, like a Clemson, like in Alabama, but you're not there yet. And that gets fans really frustrated and angry. That makes boosters angry. That makes people within the administration angry. And I think that's where Herman started to lose the support within the program. But there's also some good things he's done. 32-18 is a very solid record. And this year, we're probably going to have two Longhorns selected in the first round of the NFL draft, with Sam Cosmi and Joseph Asai. So he's not a Mac Brown, but he's not a Charlie Strong either.
Daniel, yeah. Do you mind if I respectfully
go ahead.
Just very quickly come back in? I would like to respectfully posit that Texas fans' expectations, I hear this a lot, that they're overly high. However, I would like to suggest a counter to that idea. I don't speak for the entire fan base, but I don't think mine are. I didn't expect Sam Ellinger to win the Heisman, but it is an issue when a four-year starter's best season is his sophomore year. Again, I didn't expect Texas to win multiple national championships immediately, but I think beating Oklahoma more than once in five tries is not expecting too much. And I think making an appearance in the Big 12 title game in a year where the conference seems to be down and OU is breaking in a new freshman quarterback, and we have a four-year starter, I think these are fine. And one last thing, Texas fans were very happy during the Mac Brown era. Mac Brown is an incredible coach, but we were not at the level of your Clemsons and Alabamas today. And we were not consistently at the level of Pete Carroll's USC team. No, Mac Brown delivered two conference championships, one incredible national championship year, and other incredible years. But Texas fans were perfectly fine to sit through 10-win seasons where we didn't win the division. We were happy. The team was good. The team did what it should do. The team performed as it should. And it carried itself in a way that we could all be proud of. So I don't think Texas fans necessarily demand constant championships. I think they demand that the program be respectable, and not carry the appearance of largely underperforming.
Yeah, I think both of, I mean, again, I love, I'm loving this conversation between you guys. And
back real quick.
Yeah.
Cause I wanted to say, I agree with that. Cause that's the same expectation I have. And that's a realistic expectation for most Power Five programs. And I think Texas fans, some Texas fans, it's not everybody within the fan base, but I think a good majority of them expect Texas to be in the Big 12 championship. And that's what the case was during the Mac Brown years. Is Mac didn't win the Big 12 every year, but he got them there in 2001. And they were elite players being produced out of Texas. You had Earl Thomas, Jamal Charles, Vince Young, Roy Williams. And that's the difference between then and now. It's a team that can win 10 games every 2 years, then maybe nine a third year when you have a transition cap class, and then a really good year they can win 11 or 12. But you're just not seeing that right now with the program. It's close, but it's not quite there. And I don't think that's an unfair expectation, especially with a program that produces $156 million in revenue each year.
Yeah, both. I mean, again, I'm loving this between you guys, the conversations between you guys. But Clark, just to clarify, what grade do you give Tom Herman? Because I don't think we got that.
B.
You give him a B? Okay. Yeah, I would probably be in that range as well. Probably a, I'll say probably a B plus, which would be the highest grade out of the three. Mainly because I did not see the Mac Brown years. I did not see the 10-win seasons. When I came into Texas, they were off 2 5-7 seasons. And the first game I witnessed, first American football game I ever witnessed live, was a loss to Maryland. So that's how I was being set up to the Texas football program. So that being said, with the record that Tom Herman has had at Texas, you know, obviously you're not winning 10 games per season. You're winning about 7 to 8 games per season. To Drew's credit, you can't win 7 to 8 games with the amount of blue chip recruits that you have at Texas. That being said, like Clark said, they're a lot better than when they were under Charlie Strong. And this is a pretty good segue to Steve Sarkisian. I think I'm not sure if you can guarantee me that Steve Sarkisian, I'm not even talking about the first year, because I'm not expecting Texas to win 10 games in under the first year of any coach. However, I'm not sure if you can guarantee that Steve Sarkisian will be doing better than Tom Herman, especially on the recruiting side, because in my opinion, a lot of recruiting at Alabama relies on Nick Saban and his, you know, and his aura and his personality, and just is about Alabama and is about Nick Saban. It's probably not so much about the assistant coaches. And coming to Texas, Steve Sarkisian himself will have to be at the center of recruiting, and how that translates to what kind of recruits that Texas will get, alongside with the Texas brand, of course, but that had been deteriorating in the last 10 years or so, in my opinion. But how he does in recruiting, will he be that much better than Tom Herman in recruitment? That's a thing we need to wait and see. But ultimately, the question to you guys is, first question is, good move or bad move to hire Steve Sarkisian? Clark, we're starting with you.
Let's say that only time will tell if it's a really good move or a really bad move. Looking at Steve Sarkisian, there are some things I really like. First of all, his ability to develop quarterbacks is very impressive. When he was at USC as the QB coach, he coached Carson Palmer, who was a number one pick and won the Heisman. Then he coached Matt Leinart, who became a great player, won the Heisman, also an NFL quarterback, and Mark Sanchez as well, who became a first-round quarterback. So he definitely has – and also at Washington, Jake Locker was another quarterback he developed into a first-round pick. So he just has that ability, since he was a great player at BYU as a QB, to understand the intricacies of the position and take players who were good prospects at the time and turn them into elite players that can make noise in college football. And also what was impressive during his tenure at Washington is he took over a team that was 0-12. They didn't have any wins in his first year. They got him to 5 wins, and that was with the 75th recruiting class in the country. And the problem at Washington really was they were just outgunned in terms of competition. This was at a time when USC was really good. They had all the scholarship players with Pete Carroll at the beginning of his tenure, and then Oregon and Chip Kelly started to find their groove, and even Mike Riley at Oregon State was very competitive. So Washington just didn't have the resources to compete, but he couldn't get over the hump. So then he goes to USC, and then we have the whole ordeal with the personal problems. I'm not going to dive into that. So there are good aspects of his coaching style. It's creative offense. It's working with quarterbacks, but there's not enough tape of him as a head coach with all of the resources and everything in a program together to know if he can really build it and carry you to a national championship. But I'm going to give him a chance just because there is something for him to work with. Casey Thompson looked very impressive in the bowl game. And of course, Bijan Robinson, if he starts getting 15 to 20 carries a game, who knows what kind of player he can be. So it's a gamble, but it might pay off.
I would agree with that. I would tentatively say good move. Obviously, it is going to take us some time to find out. I would say that Sarkisian has very high upside. I completely agree with what Clark said in regards to the resources he had at Washington. Now at Texas, the roles are going to be flipped in that regard. He is going to have more resources than anyone else he is playing, except for Oklahoma. Sorry, I lost my train of thought, but it is very impressive what he did at Washington. He took over a team that went 0-12 and had them winning seven games for 4 of his 5 years there. I also think that Sarkisian's ability to humble himself and learn from others is going to be very important at a job like the University of Texas. There's a lot of noise that you sort of need to block out. Something I've heard from multiple Alabama sources in the last few days has been that Sarkisian was the kind of offensive coordinator who could take a suggestion from a consultant and turn it into 6 points on Saturday. We've sort of seen that maybe Herman doesn't have that ability in his time at Texas. We've sort of seen that maybe he doesn't have the ability to just let his coordinators do their work. I mean, if you've been watching Texas's offense this year, it hasn't looked as different as you would expect with a new offensive coordinator. Now, regarding whether Sark is going to be able to recruit better than Herman at Texas, I would say he'll probably recruit about on level. I think Texas largely recruits itself, except for when we have a lame duck head coach, which I think is what Herman was perceived as this year, especially given all the Urban Meyer rumors. If we were hearing them, recruits were hearing them. I think that matters. But what's more important is his ability to convert on that recruiting. Texas, for the last decade, I guess, has been notoriously doing less with more than most successful programs. So I think the recruiting will be about on level, but the real question here is Sark going to be able to convert that into an appropriate share of wins? Again, Texas has the fourth highest blue chip ratio. Basically, it means what percentage of your players were blue chip recruits, 4 or 5 star recruits when you brought them in? I don't expect Texas to be the fourth best team every single season, but I think that Sarkisian will be a success if he can get them closer to that than Herman has. And again, Sark's history as a coach who was coaching teams that were kind of below par relative to their conference based on talent level is very interesting and very important. And note that Herman didn't have that history. obviously he was only a coach for two seasons before coming to Texas, but Houston had success against a conference who it kind of outmatched in terms of talent. I mean, relative to the rest of the American at the time, Houston was not a doing more with less situation.
Yeah. Again, good points from both of you guys. I don't know Steve Sarkisian very well. In fact, I was kind of putting the question in the group chat when the name came out about when the name came out that was linking the head coaching job with Steve Sarkisian. So I don't have a ton to contribute in this segment. That being said, I do know a couple friends that they're from Washington that have been Washington fans, and they absolutely love Steve Sarkisian being able to bring that program from where it was when he started to where it is right now, as he was a big part of digging them out of the hole in the beginning. So I'm excited at the same time. Like I said on Twitter, Tom Herman's like my football dad, because the first head coach I've ever that's like quote unquote my team. So it's always sad to see when your dad is being replaced by somebody else. That being said, Steve Sarkisian, again, what do you guys think is his biggest challenge at Texas in his upcoming how many years that he has? Drew, we're starting with you.
Well, I would suggest that early in his tenure, his success will be determined by his ability to take Tom Herman's players and get them to sort of buy into a new message with new leadership. It can be difficult for coaches to come in with a roster full of players who liked the old guy, you know, and convert with them. I also think one of his biggest challenges is going to be the biggest challenge that every coach at Texas faces, which is beating Oklahoma. I think that matters. I think that matters to a lot of people, you know, clearly. It's not just a rivalry game. It is a means of measuring success. Mac Brown went 1-4 in his first two games against Oklahoma. And despite being a great coach, he was on the hot seat because of it. Meanwhile, Charlie Strong was, by winning percentage, I believe the worst coach that Texas has ever had. And yet he bought himself more time with the key win against Oklahoma. That has been one of the big key sources of frustration for Herman, is his inability to do so as Texas fans have watched Oklahoma go on to then win Big 12 championships and go to the playoffs. So I think roster management, getting buy-in from the talented players that we have, succeeding against Oklahoma and other Big 12 opponents, and I do think that managing expectations will be there. Obviously, if you know, replacing a coach, it's easy to replace Charlie Strong, right? It was easy for Herman to replace Charlie Strong because going 7-6 was the best thing any of us had seen since middle school. It's going to be tough because if next year Texas goes 7-5 in the regular season, you are going to have a lot of detractors coming out. You're going to have a lot of people saying that there shouldn't have been an opening for the job. You're going to have a lot of people saying we went 4-0 in bowl games. So I think he has a very unique set of expectations there, because though Herman was getting unpopular with the fan base, he wasn't completely on the outs with them. There were active Herman supporters.
Yeah, I agree with as well. Steve, like, he has to win more than 7 to 8 games a season, I think, in order to justify the coaching transition. Beside the first year, I always give the first year off for the coaches, but yeah, that's definitely a lot tougher than what Herman has to bring in, which is basically give us a winning record. Clark, what do you think?
Here all day and tell you about all the football stuff, the obvious ones: winning the state of Texas, expanding the recruiting base, winning 9 to 10 games a year, beating Oklahoma, competing in the Big 12 championship, and all of those things are great. But how do those things happen is the question. And this is really important, and the point I'm going to hit here is you're seeing something starting to happen that Texas fans want happen. Like I said at the podcast, Sam Cosmi and Joseph Asai, both first round picks. We beat Oklahoma, not since 2018, unfortunately, but it has happened in this decade. So some things are happening, but we're still not pushing the point to where we're being elite. And you wonder why that is. And there's this is kind of weird, but I'm going to tie it to my point, is there's this thing in Durham. There's this quote from John Steinbeck that said, Texas is a mystique more so than a state of mind. And that mystique is something you call an identity, right? You need to shape an identity for your state. And I think that's what Steve Sarkisian hasn't done yet as a head coach. And it creates an opportunity for him to do that at Texas, is just shaping an identity for the program nationally, saying, hey, this is what we're about. We're a team that, I don't know what Sark's going to do offensively with Bijan, but let's say we're a team that loves to use the ground game, but we're this balanced pro-style offense that's really creative. And that in turn is something he can sell to recruits. That's something he can sell to the players. And that's something he can sell to the fan base as a whole. And when you do that, you have that base that everybody can buy into. And that's when optimism starts to go back. When you have that optimism, you start believing you can win again. And that's when programs start to become great.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. from the both of you guys, I think for Steve, a lot of this was mentioned in the ESPN's college football segment about Steve Sarkisian, and it was very apparent in the firing of Tom Herman, is that I think in many ways you can see that Tom Herman's firings is due to the boosters not wanting him there than Chris Del Conte and the athletic department, in my opinion. I don't think an AD comes out and say, basically, he support a head coach, even though it's very shady the way he phrased it. But you don't really, you know, expect an AD to come out and say, we support this head coach, and then 3 weeks after fire him for, not only fire Tom Herman, but you kind of expected, if that was going to be the case, you would expect like Urban Meyer to come in to coach. But nothing against Steve Sarkisian, but he's just not on the Urban Meyer level just yet. And so I think it was more of a political move than a football move. And what the ESPN guys were saying is Steve Sarkisian really needs to, one of his biggest challenges, not only on the football side, but on the politics side, making sure that boosters are happy, and Texas boosters are really tough to please if you don't have the results on the field. Joining us right now is John Kelly, who has been on podcasts in the past and has a few things to say about Tom Herman and Steve Sarkisian. So before we move on to the last question, I wanted to ask John, welcome back to the podcast. Two questions for you. Number one, how do you grade Tom Herman's tenure at Texas? And number two, do you think the Steve Sarkisian hire is a good move or a bad move? John?
Thank you, Daniel, for having me on. It's good to be here. So first off, I definitely, when it comes to rating Tom Herman, I'd give him a B or a B plus. From where the Texas program was at, we're definitely better. I'd say an A grade would be a Big 12 championship. And we don't have a Big 12 championship. So, and this isn't dumb UT rules where we have A minuses. So we'll just go A, B, C. So B, yeah. I mean, he's turned the program around. We're undefeated in bowl games under Tom Herman. And, you know, it started off strong. Had that great season in 2018. Then 2019 was so-so. Started off really strong. Or never mind, scratch that. We had that close victory against Tulsa. But it's gone downhill. And that goes on to your second point, where, you know, we've had a good turnaround with Tom Herman. We definitely have a championship team, a good team. And, you know, Tom Herman's performance was dipping off. I mean, we had a great bowl win against Colorado, but we were trending down from that 2018 season. And I think Steve Sarkisian will be able to turn it around. I mean, he has that experience on the big stage. And, you know, the Big 12 is a tough conference. In my opinion, a lot tougher. Well, if you're Alabama, the SEC isn't tough at all. But for the Big 12 is a much more even playing field where you need to compete. And I think he'll bring that Alabama toughness and much needed to the Texas program. And we'll give the Big 12 a run for its money.
Yeah, so that being said, how do you think – oh, do you agree with the hire or do you disagree with the coaching change?
From – well, the coaching change, it did kind of come as a shock. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be present at the post-game press conference after the Colorado victory. And, you know, the talk of the town – wasn't so much focused on his job on the hot seat, but to the future of this program and, you know, what it could accomplish. You know, we had great performances by Casey Thompson and a lot of freshmen or younger players. And things were looking up. And so, you know, when the announcement was made, I was kind of shell-shocked because I thought we had moved past that for this year. But as far as – so I'm not really – I'm still on the fence about the need for a coaching change. But as far as Steve Sarkisian goes, from a lot of the talk, when Herman, like, really was on the hot seat, especially after that Iowa State loss, he's definitely one of my more preferred candidates over some of the others. I think, you know, he has a history in the head coaching world that isn't, you know – the best, but I think he's really grown as the offensive coordinator of Alabama. And I think, like I said, he'll run the give the Big 12 a run for its money. He'll definitely bring this program to where Tom Herman wanted it to be, to where everyone wants it to be. I think Steve Sarkisian can get it done.
Well, yeah, I was surprised as well, and I still don't know what to make of this move, and that's why I have all of you guys coming on the podcast. Last question for all of you guys: what to expect Steve Sarkisian and the Texas program to go in the first 3 years? I'll say, okay, assuming that he gets three, but let's say the first 2 years of the Sarkisian era. Clark, we can start with you.
Just because I haven't seen the team yet. If you give Bijan Robinson the ball 20 times a game, we can expect 9-3, 10-2 probably over the first 2 years. If you don't utilize the talent that's here, I could see it going the other way where you could have 7-5 and 6-6, but I'm on the optimistic side. I'm going to go. They're going to give the ball Bijan 20 times a game. He's going to have lots of yards. People in Texas are going to love him. Kids are going to wear the number 5 jersey, and we're going to start heading in the right direction.
True.
I would say I expect the program to either improve or stay pretty much the course. I think if you look at Sarkisian's history as a head coach, despite his personal problems, his teams have been pretty consistent. I don't see the program taking a nosedive. I see a lot of Bijan Robinson in our future, and I hope that I see a great development from Casey Thompson into a top-tier starting quarterback. I like to think that based on his history, doing well in Washington with so-so, you know, talent on the team, I hope to see improvement. I hope to see us blowing out the teams that we probably should. I expect things to go a little better. I think that all Texas really needs is a capable coach who doesn't inhibit his players, and who puts them in positions to succeed based on their strengths and their weaknesses. If all of those things are in order, I don't see why Texas should be winning any less than 6 or 7 conference games a year.
Sean?
You know, I think he'll improve the program. One of the biggest things is whether or not we have spring ball this year. If we have spring ball, I think, you know, I agree with Drew, we'll at least do as good as we did this season. I'd like to see better than this season, winning games that, you know, we're in control of, cough, cough, Iowa State, especially when we're in situations like that. But if we don't have spring ball, I think this first year is going to be rough. But I believe that he'll definitely – I believe in Steve Sarkisian that he'll be able to grow the program to do have similar results as that 2018 season or better.
Well, yeah, well, I think these are pretty good expectations for Steve Sarkisian and his first couple of years at Texas. Before I let y'all go, Clark and John, y'all know about this, is so what I do with the guests every time at the end of the interview is what I call FaceTime. So I let the guests to rant for as long as they want on one topic that they could choose. It can be about anything, not just about sports, not just about UT or football, stuff like that. But I'll go with the veterans first. I will let Drew draw it up a little bit more time to draw it up. But Clark, we're going to start with you. You have the floor. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I love my Colorado sports. You know, me and the Rockies have a very complex relationship.
Yes.
But there's one team I've been able to count on my whole life, and that is the Denver Broncos. They've been consistently good. They've always been a team that's been able to compete in the AFC. They've won a lot of AFC West titles. And then Peyton Manning retired, and we saw the true side of John Elway, which is a Hall of Fame quarterback that can't draft quarterbacks. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the lesson in all of this is, look, if someone's a great player for an organization, just because they're a great player doesn't mean they're going to be a great executive. Yes, John Elway has been successful, but that's mainly because he was able to sign Peyton Manning, not necessarily because he's this great scout of talent. And he wasn't the one who drafted Von Miller. That was a team effort. So just because someone has been successful for your organization in another facet doesn't mean they're well-suited to do a certain job. And I think that's the lesson Denver learned, and I'm excited to see what direction they go in without Elway being general manager. I'm glad he's still in the organization, just because you do like having him around and you always can use that as a selling point to big time free agents. But I think things are going to look a lot better now that Elway's in a different role.
Okay. Passionate one from Clark. John?
So I hadn't tweeted this, but I just want to spend this time to give a thank you to Tom Herman. I mean, you know, I am in the minority of this opinion, but when it comes to the phrase Texas is back, Texas is back from the years of drought and despair. We're in the national conversation, and, you know, overall, I feel like the university can be proud of what this team has done. You know, we're disappointed that we didn't make it to the Big 12 championship, but we're proud of the players, we're proud of the things they've accomplished. And, you know, Tom Herman brought that about. I still believe that if he had one more season, we would have gotten that Big 12 championship, but people feel differently. And under him, you know, we've had this growth. Also, side thank you to Sam Ellinger for being amazing. I love you, Sam.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's it. It's the end of an era.
Yes.
I mean, I know Sam Ellinger was brought on by a different head coach, but under the Tom Herman era, he grew, and this team grew, and is in the position it is now. It's a better position than it was. And, you know, I think in the long term, he'll be remembered for bringing Texas out of the despair that we were in.
Yeah, to Tom Herman, which is, again, like I said, my football dad, and Sam Ellinger, which is, I guess at this point, if Tom Herman's my football dad, Ellinger is kind of like the football old, like the elder brother of my football fandom. But yeah, massive. Again, I didn't know what to expect, and the Maryland loss, really, if they had beaten Maryland, I think I would have been more mad at Tom Herman right now. Fact that I started my Texas football fandom with a loss to Maryland at home, I think that set a good expectation, like good amount of bad expectations going forward. And so I'm about as sad about Tom Herman leaving as you are, John. Probably less sad, but around there. Drew, back to you.
People need to stop complaining about the NFC East. I'm seeing a lot of belly aching this season, especially from Dolphins fans, because they went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs. I'm seeing a lot of complaining because the NFC East is I'm not going to say they're bad. I'm going to say they're alternatively good. Look, if you look throughout the history of this league, the NFC East is the best division. The NFC East has produced more Super Bowl champions than any other division. Heck, the NFC East has produced two Super Bowl champions this decade. So the fact that a 7-9 team is going to get to slide in the playoffs 1 year, these are really successful teams, except like all time, except for the Eagles, who just kind of all happen to be in a rebuilding phase, or with the Cowboys, who are decimated by injuries and installing a new coach. We all have agreed to the system that if you win your division, you get in the playoffs. So it's happened before that a losing team has gotten in by winning the division. The Seahawks have done it. So I think a lot of people think they're really funny because they're making memes and jokes about the NFC East. But I'll say this, these teams have had to be in the hardest division for their entire existence. So you know what? Fine. They get 1 year on easy mode. It's fine. It's not a big deal. And you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Redskins plus eight. A football team plus eight. That's a good bet. I'm probably gonna bet on that.
All right. So that being said, which team is your NFL team?
Cowboys.
Well, I guess that answers that. I love the fact that you could have a Cinderella story with a 7-9 team going against a Tom Brady in the first round of the playoffs. I never disliked the fact that it's division winners against others plus a couple wild cards. I really, really hate the NBA playoff system because it just tosses division out of the question, out of the equation. It's really good. I like it a lot. I'm a tiny bit of a Cowboys fan. That being said, 7-9 team making the playoffs will draw a lot of criticism. So
you say 7-9 team making the playoffs. I say 11-9 team winning the Super Bowl.
Well, that is true. They're just five wins away from winning the Super Bowl. So. At this point, everybody is starting from the same starting line besides the first seeds. So, thank you guys for coming on the show. It's been a minute since I did a podcast, and I did a podcast with this many people. So thank you guys for joining me on Zoom. You guys were really good, have made really, really good points about both for Tom Herman and for Texas and for Steve Sarkisian. That being said, I don't really know what I'm doing next week because depending on what kind of bombshell Texas will throw at us, that probably would determine with the main topic for next show. But before that, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Rants with Anishi, and we'll see you guys sometime in the future.